From scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
More research this week, but we're not going to be taking you through a research report line by line. Well, we never would. But today, before we came to record this episode, Nigel said to me, because I've put forward a bit of research to discuss, and Nigel said to me, so what's different here to every other bit of workforce research, which is a great challenge. So the research we're looking at is the Global Workforce Hopes and Fears Survey 2024 from PwC. Now, it's got it gets response from 56,000 workers across 50 countries. So quite a big piece of research. But the question is, you know, what this is one of quite a few large workforce reports, which I'm quite a big fan of because they have a much broader perspective than learning reports, which are also good. But I think I like these ones because they have more of a sense of what employees or workers, you know, to say is important and how that may or may not align with what organizations say is important. So,
yes,
so that's kind of why we're looking at it. But yeah, Nigel, give me the challenge. Give us the challenge on this one.
The challenge is that if you look at the fears and the anxieties and the tensions, it's all about feelings of overwhelming change, worker resistance, AI coming racing down the track and uncertainty there. And that's what everybody says. And in some ways, good, because if PwC was saying, no, this is completely different. Everyone's fantastic. It's all rosy. Everything's wonderful. We wouldn't be terribly interested in the report. But it's how they differentiate themselves from all the others. And I think the differentiation is that they consult or they set the workforce as an adjacent survey to the senior executives. And surprisingly, there are massive, massive differences of view and opinion. And essentially, the workforce is resistant to change, can't see why they need it, feel deeply under pressure, feeling burnout, don't want any more loaded on them. CEOs are getting desperate for change because they're worried that the direction of their organization is not the right way, it's not optimal, and that things are going to come crashing down if they don't go fast. So that's the kind of dilemma. And what I liked about the report is that PwC have a few suggestions. Like, for example, one, lead in new ways to build resilience among a stressed out workforce. Again, it's all very well to say it. How do you lead and build resilience in a stressed out workforce? Good question. And they don't quite get there and answer that. They just set it as a dilemma in a way. Mm-hmm. What about you, Martin?
Well, so that challenge I thought was quite interesting. And, you know, so what's different here? And I think there's one thing that catches my eye. And I think it sort of touches on what could be a raw nerve for L&D. And that is basically... employees and workers talking about the fact that skills and the opportunity of skills development would be an important part of any decision to move job, right? So that's quite interesting. And that's not new, but that's quite interesting because CEOs also say that skills are becoming increasingly a strategic priority, and they don't normally say that. Also, more than a third of workers say they have skills that are not clear from their qualifications, job history, or job title. So I think that's quite interesting that a third say that they've got skills that their employer is not aware of. So that's quite interesting. And of workers likely to switch employers, half agree that they have hidden skills. And three quarters of them agree it would be easy to find a new job that uses their skills. Whether that's true or not, the point is skills are incredibly important. The opportunity to learn new skills are really important. And also, you know, discovering what skills, all the skills that people have is important. So for me, the point for me is, if it's so important, why does L&D have such a big challenge around engagement and impacts and value in organizations, which is what we hear a lot from a lot of the reports? And
it's a great question.
I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
Doesn't make sense. And if you look at the question on Gen AI, in the last 12 months, how frequently have you used Gen AI? Simple stuff, ChatGPT, DALL-E, you know, basically anything, Copilot, daily, 12%. Never, 37%. Once or twice, 25%. So 60% of the workforce have only used Gen AI once or twice. And out of that 60%, the vast majority have never used it. There's a wonderful opportunity for L&D to get stuck in there and set the parameters and get it rolling out on a company-wide basis and decide on the rules and then the netiquettes and build something really powerful for the organization. But it's clearly not going on. It just seems like it's casual, you know. Oh, I'm quite interested, so I use it a lot. Oh, I'm not really interested, I don't use it at all. That's okay. It's not going to produce that. What was the quote from CEO saying? The Gen AI transformation is coming. Not if that's the state of the workforce, it isn't. So there are these huge, huge cataclysmic gulfs between CEO's perception of what's needed, what the workforce skills currently they have, and their willingness to throw in their lot to learn new skills. There seems to be tensions in all of those areas. And L&D is peripheral at best. Now, I would love a question there saying, how important is your L&D to this transformation that you're talking about, CEO? And they'd probably say, marginal. Basically, keep the compliance going, boys, girls, that's fine. It's really very, very, I suppose, depressing in a way, but it's certainly not heartening. And it doesn't look like this country and all the other countries that are surveyed are on top of all this. In fact, they're the exact opposite of on top of it all. It's kind of crushing them. And the response, which is make people work harder, is just pathetic. Where does that go? Burnout, collapse. That's really successful. That's clearly not the way forward. And with Gen AI, you've got a chance of really giving people a breathing space, because it will take off their hands some of the more tedious things they have to do. Gen AI would do it happily for them. And as long as they know what they're doing, they know how to test it, they know how to check that it's accurate, it's a boon. But all that percentage of people, 37% never used it, 25% once or twice. My goodness me. You know, now in my life, I could live without Gen AI, but I really wouldn't want to. I use it every day. Always.
Yeah. I wonder whether, so I am perplexed about the whole lack of, you know, the concerns around lack of engagement, around learning, and these bigger issues of skills, talent management, you know, talent mobility. These are really live issues for organizations. And yet I don't see learning. Maybe it's just what I'm looking at and hearing. I'm not talking about these topics being discussed as being a focus of attention. It's more about learning. The actual kind of craft, or if you like, of just producing what is needed for people. But it would seem that there's, you know, what if you just recast that and said, how do I, as a learning team, support talent mobility? I think that's right now. And how do I develop the skills around AI that are required for this organization? Where does that take you in terms of the conversation? Maybe that is happening, but it feels like there seems to be quite a lot of change, and there's a lot of desire for people to, you know, for organizations to have new skills and to kind of develop these skills quite quickly, and yet it doesn't feel like that's reflected in what's being talked about in the L&D sector. But I may be missing something there. All I can say is that I spend a lot of time reading a lot of research, and I suppose there is this element of a specific function will have research about how that specific function operates and its challenges. I understand that. But what's interesting is that learning also touches every part of an organization. So it has a relationship with every single person in the organization, whether they're the most senior or the most junior. So actually, it's really able to reach people in a way that other functions might not be able to. And I think that's really, and reach them in a very positive way. So yeah, I just, maybe this is just another good reason why looking at this kind of research is useful, because it just makes you scratch your head, think, reflect about what you're seeing and how that fits with lots of other research and what other people are saying and other commentary out in the market.
Yeah, point five, recognize how critical skill building is to workers. Upskilling has become so valuable to employees that they see it as a company differentiator. This is almost the first time in my experience that if you're in L&D, you're pushing against an open door. No one is slamming it in your face and saying, "What the hell are you doing? We haven't got time for all this." Quite the opposite. They're saying we've got this Gen AI cataclysm on the horizon that we're not prepared for. There's a whole skill building agenda. We've got to rethink jobs and the way people work much more. We've got to work more flexible. We've got to be much more integrated. We've got to share ideas. We've got to move learning around the organization quicker. All the things that I say in my new book, and yet we still get that sense that there isn't that push behind all of that. It's L&D saying, "Oh, we could generate more content," or "No one, well, we haven't got a seat at the table," or "No one's interested in what we have to say." So there's a lot of contradictions. I think that's my conclusion. This isn't pointing a clear way forward. It's just pointing all sorts of issues which contradict each right the way through. Like workers want to learn about Gen AI. 67% have only used it once or twice or not at all. Contradiction. So th there is an agenda, big agenda, and I'm not, it doesn't feel like we are addressing those issues, and they are important. I agree with the report. These things are really important. So that's my dilemma, Martin, that there's lots of contradictions when there shouldn't be, and there are lots of opportunities, and people are moaning. What? It's crazy. This is probably the best time ever to be providing development and learning and flexibility and new skills. It's what the world wants. And yet, it's not happening. Do we leave it there with the dilemma? Or do you want to make a final point?
I will sit with that dilemma and I will think about it and reflect on it. It's good. I think it's not. These are questions, I think. We've asked a lot of questions. We're not necessarily answering much, I don't think. So it'd be good to hear what other people might think as a result of listening to this.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Thank you. Always a pleasure, Martin. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Nigel. From scratch.